He knew me. Go ahead, sis. Help yourself. What a blessing. She came Sunday morning or Sunday night, I'm not sure which one, and I believe it was Sunday morning, wasn't it? And Sunday night, and put her cigarettes on the altar, amen? And man, that's a big step. And you know, that's a faith thing, just like anything else is. Amen? She'd do that by faith. She don't have the power to stop that. I remember I used to say when I smoke, I quit anytime I want. Was anybody else like that? Oh, I can quit anytime. I'm not hooked on these things. Yeah, right, amen. Who would ever think something that big and that big around could lead you around like a dog, amen? But we're going to pray for you, sis, amen? Take your Bible tonight and turn to Revelation chapter number 2. My favorite part of that song is that verse where she's saying, He knew me, yet He loved me. In other words, God sees past your fake Baptist smile. God sees right through your hypocrisy. Amen. He sees past your King James Bible and all that, all the jargon you know when to say amen and all that. And He knows what you really are. Amen. That's the thing about the love of God that ought to just freak you out day in and day out. You know you. And so does He, and He still loves you. Amen. You love you because you ain't got no choice. You got to live with you. He loves you because He wants to. Amen. That ought to stir us up a little bit tonight. Amen. I know who and what I am. I know what a jerk I am. I know how wicked my heart is and how pure and holy He is. And then to just sit there and think, and He loves me? Wow. And that's crazy, man. Amen. Anyway, Revelation chapter number 2, I can't get past this thing of what Brother Jason and Miss Daphne are starting with the RU and all the things we heard over the weekend. My goodness, man, it was like... about these seven churches. I believe they were actually seven churches. You cannot hear me, brother? It's dead in a hammer, ain't it? Is that why you're doing jumping jacks up there, brother? Oh, it ain't even on.
Battery's dead. Breaker one, huh?
Can you hear me now? I believe the Lord speaks to churches. I believe He uses God's men to open His word and speak to churches.
If he had something to say to this church, do you reckon he has anything to say to our church? Come on. Some of these churches around here that think they're all that and a bag of chips. Amen. They think the world revolves around them and everybody ought to be just like them. Man, I don't want everybody to be just like me. Amen. So anyway, he's writing this letter to this church. Now let's notice what he has to say. He said in verse number 2, I know thy works and thy labor. Now hold on. If he knew their works and he knew their labor, he knows my work and he knows your labor. Amen. In other words, he knows not only what you're doing, but he knows why you're doing it. Amen. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Man, that sounds like they're doing pretty well, doesn't it? He said, man, I know your works. I know you labor. I know how you don't put up with evil, and you try them things, and you find them to be liars, and you point them out, and you call them so. And boy, all that sounds good. But then things change in verse number 4. Something changes drastically from what he's been saying to what he's fixing to say. Look at verse number 4. He said, nevertheless. There's your word, sis. Nevertheless, I was thinking when you was testifying, I thought, here you go again. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, look up here, church. He said, you're doing good here, 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 and here. He said, you hate evil, you got patience, and you got good labor, and you work hard, and you do right, but I do have a problem. I wonder how many of us would want the Lord to be honest with us and point out when we have a problem. Well, what was their problem? He said, you've left your first love. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. How many of you remember when you first got saved? Man, that's everybody, every one of us that are saved. You remember when you got saved. You remember how you felt? You remember how it was even days on after that you couldn't think about nothing else? Then all of a sudden that just begins to wear off, and being a Christian gets to where it's a chore and it's more like a job and it's more a duty instead of a delight. Come on, talk to me. Did you know any relationship is like that? Any relationship like that is like that. Every relationship that you enter into will require some maintenance on your part. It's going to take work to keep the love life alive. Now listen, man, I love my wife. We've been married 28 years. Did I get it right that time? No. 29 years. 29 years. Seems like the older we get, the less I can remember. Amen. 29 years. Man, that's a long time to be married to the same woman. Amen. And worse than that, that's a long time for her to be married to me. Amen. But you know what? That relationship takes work. It takes a lot of work. Now, if you agree that your marriage relationship takes work, would you agree? Wave your hand. Nod your head. It takes work. It's not just something you take for granted. It's going to be there day in, day out, day in, and day out. That's what happens to a lot of marriages. We take them for granted. And when we take them for granted, they become unappreciated. And when they become unappreciated, they become unmarried. Are y'all okay? And it's the same way with our Christian life. If we're not careful, we take the Lord for granted. And then His goodness and His mercy becomes unappreciated. Now here's the good thing. He won't divorce you. Amen. He won't divorce you. He won't kick you out of the family, but he will put you on the shelf, and he will quit expressing and using his power through you to do things. Amen. He will take your joy and your song, and he will make a sourpuss out of you, or he'll let you do that to yourself. Amen. Now, listen, if my relationship with my wife takes work, who I can see, who I can touch, who I can kiss, we may have to take a break. If it requires work, how much more work would a relationship with somebody I've never seen? A relationship that is totally based on faith and faith alone. Y'all okay? You say, yeah, but I can feel the Lord. I can too. But it's by faith. It's by faith. Everything's by faith. I've never seen Him. But I'm as sure he's there as I am she's there. I can't see him like I see her tonight, but by faith I do see him. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't want to freak you out, but by faith I can see him. By faith I can touch him. Bible said he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So by faith I can touch the Lord. By faith, I can feel the Lord. By faith, I can hear the Lord. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is if a physical relationship takes work, a spiritual relationship that you can't actually physically see or physically touch, it's going to take a little bit more work than what you might think. Amen. I want us to look at this thing about your first love, about your first love. My wife and I have figured out something over the last few years. It's better than it was when we first got married. Our relationship's better 29 years later than it was the first year. Matter of fact, the first year of our marriage was pretty bad. All my fault. 100% my fault. But, you know, over the years, we've learned how to love each other. We've learned how to meet each other's needs. So, listen, the longer you're saved, that relationship ought to get a little bit sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Amen? I'm going to give you three or four thoughts tonight. And we'll go to the house on this thing of working on our relationship with Christ. And by the way, can I just tell you that's the relationship that all other relationships are built on? You want the marriage relationship to be right? Get the God relationship right. You want you and your wife to be okay with each other? Be okay with God. Amen. You want the relationship with your children to be good? Make sure your relationship's right with the Lord. Amen. Every spiritual problem you have is a relationship problem. Just nod your head. You'll be okay. Let me show you several things tonight. A relationship is a passion. My relationship with my wife is a consuming passion. Would you agree? Is your relationship with your wife like that? I hope it is. Amen. It's a passion. Well, things you're passionate about, you act differently toward than you do other things. Would you agree? Amen. Listen, it's a consuming passion to think about. It's a consuming passion to think about. What occupies the majority of your mind most of the time? I know guys, Brother Stacy, we've been friends all our lives. We've got friends right now. If they walked in here and we stopped having church and just started talking, we're going to talk about deer hunting, ain't we? That's all they know. That's their passion. People talk about what they love. I ain't got to be around you 5 minutes and I'll understand what you love. Whether it's golf, whether it's hunting, whether it's fishing, whether it's shopping, whether it's arts and crafts, whether whatever. We're going to find out what your passion is. You get around my wife, you're going to find out what her passion is. Grandbabies. I'm serious. You ain't going to get around her 10 minutes. She's going to talk about them kids. Why? Because she's passionate about that. And when you're passionate about something, that's what you talk about. Amen. Liz, let me ask you something. How much time do you spend talking about him? People all over this country talk about my smoking hot wife, and 90% of them have never seen her. I'm serious. You know why? Because I brag on her. Why do you brag on her? Because I love her. Number two, I want everybody there to know I'm happily married. Amen? What I'm saying is you talk about those things that you love. Listen, your mind is overtaken with the object of your love. Your mind is overtaken with the object of your love. How much of your mind and your thought process has the Lord had today? Give us some thought. Do you ever just sit and think about him? I sit and think about her all the time. This is a legitimate question. Do you ever just sit and think about him? Who he is, what he is, what he looks like? How mighty he is, how powerful he is. Do you ever sit and imagine him speaking the world into existence? Do you ever just do that stuff? I do. I just sit and think about the Lord. Man, I look at the trees or I look at the mountains or a lake or a river and I go, wow, he just said it and there it was. And I try to picture all that just happening, man. How much time you spend thinking about him? I bet he spends more time thinking about you than you do about him. Amen. Your mind is overtaken with the object of your love. Listen, you won't get sidetracked if your mind is consumed. Let me say it again. You will not get sidetracked if your mind is consumed. In other words, the devil's not going to be able to drag you down if all you're thinking about is the Lord. Because you know why? You know where the devil starts working on you? Right here in your mind. Right here in your mind. It's hard to think about somebody talking about you behind your back when you got your eyes set on Calvary and you're thinking about Jesus and his blood that he shed for you and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you and how many prayers he's answered, how many times he's come through over and over and over and over and over again. You can't be bitter thinking about him. It's hard to get sidetracked when your mind is consumed. Listen, our relationship with the Lord is a lot like a marriage. He refers to us over and over as the bride of Christ. Amen? We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. So I'm going to use my bride just for a few minutes tonight. It's hard for me to get sidetracked. In other words, chasing after another woman when I'm constantly thinking about her. Do you know how hard it'd be to kiss another woman with her face in my mind? And a gun in her hand? Amen. If your mind is consumed, listen, these men and these, even women, I've known women who have left their families, left their children. They couldn't have been thinking about them. They couldn't have been thinking about them. It could not have been, their marriage couldn't have been consuming their mind. Their love for their children couldn't have been consuming their mind. The only thing that could cause them to walk away from a good husband and from good children who love them with all their heart, the only thing that could cause that is they must be consumed with thinking about self. Oh, about my needs, about my needs. I never got to have any fun. Blah, blah, blah. Me, 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 me. If your mind is consumed with the object of your love, you will not get sidetracked from that object of your love. Amen. Amen. How do I keep my heart right with God? I just got to keep my mind on Him. You say, well, how you do that? Think. It's not rocket science. You think about what you want to think about. Am I right about it? There was I hate to admit this in public, but y'all know it's true. There was a 69 Camaro sitting down here on 101 for sale. Either they've sold it or she's put it back in the barn, one of the two. For 2 weeks, it drove me nuts. I'm serious, heart attack. For 2 weeks, I woke up every morning, I think, I wonder if that thing's still there. I'd get in my truck and drive to Villa Rickon down 101. Say, yep, there it is. That's crazy, ain't it? It was consuming my mind. You know what I did? I said, Lord, I don't care. I really did. I don't care if they sold it. I can't afford it anyway. You know what I'm saying? But I had to get a hold of that thing. And the Lord was going, wow, I wish you thought about me like you thought about that car. I wish you'd get in your truck and drive 10 miles every day just to come by and see if I'm here. Y'all ever think about that? I wonder if the Lord ever looks at you, Brother Stacy, and says, excuse me, I won't pick on you. You've been out of town too long. Brother Warren, I wonder if the Lord ever looks at you while sitting on that deer stand, what, 5-6 hours at a time? That's being about right, isn't it? You figure about 30 minutes before daylight till lunchtime. That's a half a day sitting. I mean, when you think about it, sometimes for nothing. That's exactly right. I guarantee you, you won't sit with the Lord for 5 hours and it be for nothing. But I wonder if he ever comes by where we're at and going, man, I can't believe it. It would thrill my soul if you got up at 4:30 in the morning, put on long johns and a boggin, got on a four-wheeler in 30-degree weather and rode till your ears is froze outside of your head, climbed a tree just to talk to me. Y'all okay? You won't get sidetracked when your mind is consumed. Why don't you take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Y'all still doing okay? Ephesians, Philippians. How much of your time is spent thinking about Him? Y'all give me a minute. I'm one-handed. I hate this. Where'd I tell you to go? Thank you. Philippians chapter 4. Now watch this. Stay with me just for a minute. Here's the question. What are you thinking about?
Have you ever had the devil put weird thoughts in your mind even while you're sitting in church? I'm talking about right now. Your mind's everywhere where it ought to be. You ever tried to pray and had thoughts so bad you make you quit praying? I mean, you're talking to him and that goes through your mind. I wonder who that is. I'm going to ask you what you're thinking about. What consumes your mind? I sure hope it ain't the economy and the government. Amen. Hope it ain't the election. Now watch Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are what? Honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are? Whatsoever things are of a what? If there be any virtue in there, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Take it. Everything we just read that he told you to think about describes him. Every single one of those things, whether it be pure, whether it be lovely, honest, a good report, every one of those things describe him, does it not? You can't think about the Lord Jesus Christ and not think about truth. Amen. You can't think about the Lord Jesus Christ and not think about honest. You can't think about the Lord Jesus Christ and not think about every one of these adjectives that he used right here in this verse to think on these things. So what is he saying? Think about me. Think about me. The devil messing with your mind? Think about me. You know why it's so good to think about him? Pilate said it best. I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this. I've examined him. I've looked him up and down. I've tried his case, and I find no fault in this man. Everything else that consumes your mind, you can find something wrong with it. You can find fault. You can find failure, and you will let yourself down over and over and over and over and over again. What good did it do me to run around for 2 weeks consumed thinking about Barbara Jo Panner's car sitting down here? What good did it do me? You know what it was? It's just a letdown. I saw it for sale and the hair stood up on the back of my neck and I went, oh man, I stopped and looked at it and I just crawled all over it and under it and man, I want that car. What good did I do? I didn't do nothing but hurt myself. I got myself worked up over nothing. Come on. I got myself worked up over nothing. But buddy, when I think about the Lord, there's no letdown. There's no letdown. He's that Camaro and 10 million times more, and yet he never charged me a dime. Amen. He loves me. Hey, I said he loves me. And he cares for me, and he meets my needs, and he hears my prayers. Boy, when I think about him, there's just no discouragement there. Amen. It's a consuming passion, something to think about. It's a consuming passion to be with. It's a consuming passion to be with. I have a standing rule when I travel. When I come home, whatever day it is, that night belongs to her. That's okay, isn't it? Whatever day I come home, whether it's sometimes I come home on a Wednesday or a Thursday, sometimes I come home on Friday or Saturday, but whatever day I come home, I get home from the airport, me and her's going out. Why? I hadn't been able to be with her. I hadn't been able to be with her. So, but there's something consuming. There's a consuming passion that drives me to want to be with her. And when I'm apart from her, I can't wait to get back with her again. Now listen, I know with the Lord, he's always with us. I understand that. I know he lives inside of us. He goes everywhere we go. I understand that. But you know there's times when you visit with him, right? You understand what I'm talking about? You know why I look forward to coming back to church? He does something here collectively that he doesn't altogether do when I'm all by myself. Does that make sense? My worship's a little bit sweeter when we're together and we're worshiping him together. When we begin to exalt his name and his presence is felt in this place and you feel that little breeze blowing through your soul, bro, there's something special about that. And come Wednesday night, man, it's been Sunday since I felt it and I want to feel it again. I want to get back under the spout where the breeze is blowing out. Amen. Why? Because there's a consuming passion to be with him, not just to think about him. You know what thinking about him does? It revs me up to be with him. I have to be careful if I think about her too much. I'm afraid I'll get off the airplane and hurt her. I used to tell her all the time, you pick me up to the airport, you better have on a helmet. Amen, because I'm body blocking you as soon as I... Amen. Amen. The more I think about her, the more I desire to be with her. So the more I think about the Lord, hey, coming to church ain't going to be a chore on Wednesday night. It's going to be a come on now. Is it ever going to start? Man, I'm excited about this thing. Man, just doing it, putting this message together today and jotting these thoughts down. And you know what it caused me to do? It caused me to think about him all day long. I thought, man, good night. I can't wait to get in there and spill it. I know it's not a great sermon. I know it's just a simple thought. But, brother, it's got my mind on him. And when I spend time thinking about him and thinking about him and thinking about him and thinking about him, shoot, I'm just going to go visit with him a while. Don't get me wrong. I know I can do that personally, and I have. And I hope you have. But there's something special about this. I don't want to sound like a smart aleck tonight, but I don't see how some make it on one service a week. I really don't. I mean, and I love them. God, help them. They're going to show up here Sunday morning. They're going to be dressed for church. They're going to be toting the King James Bible. They're going to be singing to the top of their lungs. They're going to be lifting their hands and praising the Lord. And I'm thinking, I don't know where you're getting what you got. But I got to have more than one shot at this thing a week if I'm going to stay on top. Amen. I got to have more than one shot at this thing. I got to have a little more than a salvation message on Sunday morning from Brother Eddie. I got to have a little something extra than that. Just, I don't know. I'm not criticizing, but there's must be a desire in my heart that's not in theirs. You say, well, you have to come. You're the preacher. Hey, I went to church before I was a preacher. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I coon hunted all night Saturday night, slept through church on Sunday morning. Then I'd go back Sunday night and get something, amen. That's a shame, ain't it? But it's the truth. But seriously, man, I'd work like a dog all day digging ditches in the heat. I'd walk into church muddy and tired and wore out with holes tore in my britches. I didn't have time to go home and take a shower. But there's something there I wanted. There was something stirring down inside me. I'd been thinking about somebody. Me and old Terry Fennell, we'd get on the job every day. We'd turn old Charles Stanley on. I think it's about 10 o'clock every morning, and we'd get around that work truck, boy. We'd listen to preaching, man. It by Wednesday night, man, we threatened to quit come quitting time so we could get to church on time. Amen. It's a consuming passion to think about, but it's also a consuming passion to be with. Amen. Listen, you remember when you weren't with your mate or your wife or your spouse, you were planning to be? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I worked construction when she and I started dating. I was framing houses. Let me rephrase that. I was toting lumber for people who were framing houses. I was a go get it, fetch it boy. That was who I was. I was toting a piece of plywood one day and it flew off with me. You don't tote wood that weighs more than you, amen? That's toting that plywood up like that and the wind caught it and I went like a kite, man. Anyway, that's what I was doing when we was dating. I'd send her flowers at school. Oh yeah, I wooed her, buddy. Buddy, come Friday night, all week long. You know what made me work so hard every day? I'm taking her out Friday night. When I wasn't with her, I was thinking about being with her. When I wasn't with her, I was planning to be with her. Why? There's a consuming passion to be with someone of your love. There's not only a consuming passion to think about them, there's a consuming passion to be with them. Amen. I wonder how much thought you will put into Sunday morning between now and then. You say, wait a minute, you've got to preach. I don't have to put any thought into it. You sure? How are you going to get what you need out of it if you don't put no thought into it between now and then? Some of you won't pray for me till I start to walk the pulpit and you go, bless him, Lord. And that's about all I get. And that's about all the thoughts you put into it. No wonder you don't get no more out of it. I was just in a church, and I'm going to get sidetracked right here, and I know it, but so be it. I was in a church last week. Precious, precious pastor. Brother Freddie's met him. Brother Freddie knows him. This guy is very studious. I mean, he's brilliant, smart. He preaches great. But on Sunday night and Wednesday night, he's a teacher, buddy. I'm talking about knows that book up one side down the other. He has a whole faction of his church about ready to get up and leave because they're starving. Can you believe that? I've listened to his CDs. I'm like, good night, man. If you're starving, it's because you're not eating. You're getting out of the service what you come to get out of the service. You're coming to see what you can criticize and who you can talk about and what you can point a finger at. And if you want it, the table spread. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's because you don't have a desire to get anything. Yeah. If there was a consuming passion to be with the Lord, when you got here, you'd be with the Lord. Yeah. I use this illustration all the time about people in our church. The service can get real good. The singing's good. People are coming to the altar. Some are weeping. Some are shouting. And some are sitting there just like this. What is that? Well, there's a couple of thoughts goes through my head. But one wants him and one don't. One wants him and one don't. The disciples were out at sea one night. And the Bible said that Jesus came walking on water. And there's a phrase in there that's always caught my mind and caught my eye. The Bible said, and would have passed them by. He'd have kept right on trucking, friend. But they cried out. They cried out. Listen, he'll pass you by just as well. You sit in church and you wonder, why come those people are so happy and I ain't? Because they want to be and you don't. Amen. They have a consuming passion to be with him. My wife and I talk about your wife, Joy, all the time when she testifies. And my wife says, you know what she is? She's just real. She's just real. Oh, thank God for people like that. I mean, she just got a dose when she got saved, brother. And she loves God and she loves to tell about him. And she just gets happy. I believe the Lord likes that. I believe the Lord says, wait a minute. Somebody right there wants to be with me. There's somebody right there appreciates what I've done. Amen. When you're not with the object of your love, you're planning to. You know why? Because there is a void in your life that nobody can fill but them. Let me say that again. There is a void in your life that nobody can fill but them. You know why so many marriages are messed up? They're trying to fill a void with the wrong person. And it will not work. Let me tell you something. Somebody else's wife ain't going to make you happy. I put my best Joel Osteen on. Somebody else's wife. And ma'am, ain't nobody else's husband going to make you happy. Amen. That's what this world will tell you. Them ladies go to work and dress up better for their boss at work than they do their husband at home. And then the boss at work gets to think of, ooh la la, got to have that right there. Amen. And then they get that right there and find out it ain't no different than what they left. Then she starts dressing better for her new boss. Y'all okay? And the whole process starts again. There is a void in my life that nobody can fill but her. And by the way, it's running on empty, so need some sugar. Amen? Does that make sense? There's a void in your life that nobody can fill but the Lord. There's a spot inside you that nothing can fill and nothing can satisfy but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll try to satisfy it with everything in the world, but it will not work. It's him or nothing. God made you that way. God put a place inside you for him to dwell. Do you agree with that? God put a place inside you for him to dwell, and then you try to put something else in that place, nothing else will work. Only he can fill that void. Only he can fill that void. Listen, there's a consuming passion to think about. There's a consuming passion to be with. Listen. Remember, when you're not together, you're planning on being together. And then there's a void in your life that nobody else can fill. Now listen, sometimes it ought to just be enough to be together. Now my wife and I just took a very nice vacation. It was needful. We enjoyed it. No cell phone, no text messages, no nothing. 8 days, my wife said, if somebody looks like they're going to talk to us, you go the other way. We didn't want to make a friend. Of course, we did wind up making a friend, but a lady who had just lost her son. But she said, you don't even talk to them. She said, we're just going to be in our own little cocoon. Matter of fact, I hired a guy one day, paid him $50 to take us on a jet ski and dump us out on a deserted little island and leave us. My wife said, I hope he comes back. Sometimes it's okay just to be together. Amen. I tell couples in my office all the time, date. Yeah, but we don't have the money. Walking around the mall looking at weirdos is free. Don't cost a dime. Amen, amen, and amen. I wish my wife would like it. I'd go walk around car lots. I like that. Amen. Better than walking around stupid Walmart. Amen. Can't afford nothing at either place. So, amen. But sometimes it's just okay to be together. When we come to church, God doesn't always have to do some extravagant something for us to get a blessing. Amen. It ain't got to be clicking our heels behind our head and running up and down the aisles every service. It ain't got to be that way. Sometimes it's okay just to be together. Saturday morning of our youth rally this year, and I told everybody, I don't know how, I just had a premonition, I reckon, I don't know. But I told everybody, don't miss Saturday morning, it's going to be sweet. It's going to be, buddy, it was like honey dripping off the ceiling in this place. You know what? We wasn't shouting and running the aisle. But boy, they was just a tender, sweet spirit. And it just felt like we were just kind of hanging out with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's okay. It ain't got to be something extravagant, just spending some time together. Amen? There's a consuming passion to think about. There's a consuming passion to be with. Lastly, I'll give you this and I'm done. There is a consuming passion to do for. There is a consuming passion to do for. I dote on my wife. I do things a lot of husbands don't do. Why? Because I love her. I love her. I love her coming in going, oh, you washed the dishes. You didn't have to do that. I know. I do it because I love her. And I'm not saying, men, that you ought to wash your dishes. I'm just telling you, I do things for her. Not because I'm trying to suck up or anything. I just love her. And it's not a chore to do things for. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing things that I know is going to make her happy. Y'all okay? I got up yesterday morning, stripped the bedclothes off the bed, and washed the sheets. Man, it gets quiet every time I say something like that. Every woman in the house is giving it this. No, guys, I don't mean that. I'm just saying I do things for her because I love her. I don't feel like, oh, foot, she's going to be home. I better get these dishes washed. It's not that way. I don't wash the dishes every day. I only do it when I want to do something for her. Sometimes I like to watch her do it for me. Amen. Y'all okay? Listen. When you do things for somebody you love, you get a thrill out of it too. You get a thrill out of pleasing them and making them happy. Amen? Listen, do you get a thrill out of your bus route? Don't get me wrong. Don't sit there and lie to me either. Sometimes it ain't nothing but a stinking chore. And if you say any different, you're lying, 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 lying. I'm a bus kid. I know I grew up in it. I know exactly what it's like. I know how taxing it is. That's why we took the day off, so that you could spend with each other. Amen? Is that helping, by the way? Has that been a praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. It's all his idea. Give him the credit. Amen? But serious, it shouldn't stay that way all the time. I'm your pastor. Have been for 19 years. We make it to April, be 20. There's days I ain't all fired up about it, to be honest with you. But I'd get worried if it stayed that way. And if it got to a place where it stayed that way, and here's what happens. Here's what happens. When that starts happening in your life, I'm done preaching. I'm just going to talk to you a minute. When that starts happening in your life, first thing the devil does is tell you what? Come on. Thank you, Brother Thomas. Somebody had guts enough to say it. Quit. That's the first thing that goes through your mind. You're burned out, you're tired, you don't enjoy it no more. You're probably being more of a hindrance by not getting out of the way and letting somebody else with some zeal take that over. That is a lie straight out of hell. Man, don't you think in 19 years I've got tired of some of y'all? Amen. I know in 19 years they get tired of me. They prove it by leaving. Amen. We okay? Just because the devil comes up and says, you're not effective anymore. Son, I go to churches and preach where they don't know me and hadn't heard all my stories. I preach, man, and I'm talking about the altars fill up. I sign Bibles for 30 minutes after church. I come home, preach my lungs out to you, and you sit there. And the devil says, you've lost it. You're not helping them anymore. You're not doing any good, blah, blah, blah. He will lie to you. He will lie to you in a heartbeat. He'll tell you them bus kids would be better off with somebody else. But do you know what it's going to do to those kids when you turn your back on them? This is going to break their heart. These adults all over this part of the country that see my mama in Walmart, anywhere she goes, you hear some grown man hollering, mama, mama. It's one of mama's bus kids. I've heard not just one, I've heard many, many make this statement. I sure am glad you never gave up on me. I sure am glad you never gave up on me. She's got them pastoring churches. She's had them on the mission field. She's got pastors' wives. I mean, it's unreal. What all came off that bus route? Why? Because she made up her mind she wasn't going to believe the devil's lies. She had her own family telling her, you're driving them kids crazy. You're going to make them hate God because you're going to church so much and visiting that bus route with them on Saturday, blah, 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 blah. And she listened to all that junk, but she never did quit. There is a consuming passion to do something for the people that is the object of your love. By the time Saturday afternoon rolled around and we ate the barbecue, by the time he was through preaching Sunday morning, by the time he was through preaching Sunday night, brother, it's bothering me. It's bothering me, but oh, I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it, but I'm like, thank God you ain't going to be here Wednesday. Thank God. Do you get to doing something you used to do and you do it week in and week out and then somebody else stands up and does it? You ever had somebody teach a class for you? It just feels weird, don't it? I mean, brother, it's just, I don't know why. I love doing it. Somebody said, why you travel and preach so much? I love doing it. As long as he uses me, I'm going to let him use me. I enjoy doing it. Amen? There's a consuming passion to do for it. If our first love is real, this love that he said, I have somewhat against you because you've left it. If that first love is real, you'll be excited about this thing. It won't matter whether you've been around here 2 years or 20. You'll be excited about this thing if you love him like you did when you got saved. You'll be excited about church Sunday morning. You'll be excited about that RU coming up. You'll get excited about the nursing home. You'll get excited about the jail. You'll be excited about every single thing. Some of you don't even get excited when somebody gets saved. You just sit there. Oh, well. Just another one missed hell, that's all. Another one trusted Christ as their Savior. They just got their sins forgiven. Is it time to go yet? You get that first love back, you'll get excited again. You'll be excited about the preaching. You'll sit up on the edge of your seat again, like you did when you first got here, when you first got saved. Remember? Amen. There's a consuming passion to do for. Listen, it won't just be a duty. It'll be a delight. You'll enjoy it again. If you've got to the place in whatever you're doing for God where you're not having fun anymore, buddy, I'd get on the altar. And I'd say just like David did, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because, God, I missed something here. I'm kind of going through it, and I'm kind of doing this out of duty. Hey, and by the way, when you're doing it out of duty, keep doing it out of duty. Do it till the delight comes back. Don't let the devil get the victory and tell you, oh, you might as well just step aside and quit. He's lying. The delight will still be there if you'll trudge on through it. Amen. It'll still be there if you'll just keep on. Amen. Listen, are you enjoying what you're doing for the Lord? I love to get around Brother Jason Crow. I love it. I can't understand half what he says, but he's Jack Patterson in the making. I mean, just, he was at my house here a few weeks ago doing some tree work, and it was just, I mean, he just like, I was like, easy. I was afraid he's going to eat me. You know, he just gets, he gets talked to you, and there he is, 7 foot tall and 8 foot wide, you know. That sucker starts coming at you like, wah! You know what? That's a joy, man. Not one time has he said, man, I can't believe I asked God called me to preach. I don't know, man. I don't know about all this RU stuff. Not one time have I heard him mumble, murmur, complain. Nothing, just like a rat on acid. I mean, just, I can't believe he used to be a drug addict. I really can't. I can't imagine him high. I'd like to see it at a distance. But I like that. But listen, if you're not careful, the devil will take that joy away from you. He'll take that zeal and that excitement away. And he'll make you like some of these people in some of these churches where I go, just a deadhead. Satisfied with never feeling the touch or the move of God. Could care less whether anybody gets saved or not. These churches where I know for a fact they hadn't had people saved in several years. And I run into the pastors in town and say, hey, brother, how's your church doing? Oh, it's doing great. You ain't had nobody saved in 2 years and you're doing great? We go 2 years without nobody getting saved, I may shoot myself. Man, that drives me. That's what keeps me going. You know why they can say they're doing great? They don't care. They've just dried up. They're satisfied. They don't expect nothing from the Lord. They don't expect the Lord to show up. We're fixing to come pray, I promise. Several years ago, our youth choir was singing in a church near here. I'll just put it that way. Within just a few miles. I won't say which direction. But it was a Sunday night, and our youth choir was singing. And it got on. And kids started coming to the altar. And a little girl came to the altar, probably about 14 years old, 15 years old, and she was weeping. This is before Stephanie Speck got married and moved to New York. Stephanie came down out of the choir and knelt down with the little girl, and she said, what's the matter? And I was leading the choir. I could hear everything they were saying. She said, I'm not saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I got to get this thing settled. Her preacher come off the platform, patted her hand, and said, no, honey, you're okay. You go on back to your seat. Wow. Watched it with my own two eyes. Stephanie grabbed her hand, wrote her phone number on it before she went back to her seat and said, call me. Now, boo, that's ridiculous. When the Lord starts moving in a service and it makes the pastor nervous, evidently they're not used to him being around. Amen. Have you left your first love? Is there days when, now listen, I'm not some super spiritual thing, and neither are you. Don't get the idea all Brother Eddie thinks about is the Lord. No, that'd be a lie. Amen. I've preached in places, you don't have no car, they pick you up at the airport, they drop you off at a hotel, and don't come back and get you till time to go to church, and you think, you're sitting there bored to death. And the preacher's like, well, I don't want to interrupt you. Interrupt what? But there ought to be days when he consumes your mind. Amen? There ought to be days when there's a consuming desire and a passion to be with him. And there will be times when there's a consuming passion to do something for him. Just because it pleases him. Not because you're trying to get a pat on the back, but because you're trying to put a smile on his face. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Prayer sheets are right here on the table. Listen, we're going to dismiss this way. Come to the altar and get you a prayer sheet. And let's just kneel down here and pray together. Is he trying to get my attention? Oh. Let's just pray together. Pray till you're done and consider yourself dismissed.